All right, brethren, we go back to Exodus 6 this morning. Exodus 6. Now, we saw last night how that Moses was sent with the gospel to the children of Israel to declare to them the good news of God's name and God's covenant and God's works. And verse 9 is where we pick up now. And it says, "And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. He went and told them everything God told him to preach. But they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage." There's a lot of people in this world that like to, religious people, who like to boast about their will and their works, about their faithfulness. They talk about their faith. At least I got my faith, and my faith this, my faith that. Well, that's not what the children of Israel could boast in, and we can't boast in it. Verse 10, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened to me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips?" Well-working preachers, they like to boast. And their converts, they like to boast about being able to do many wonderful works, about being able to preach and convert sinners and plant churches and all that stuff. Moses couldn't make that boast. And God's true preachers and His true people can't make that boast either. Can't make that boast at all. It's by the unchanging faithfulness and the irresistible works of Christ toward His people that sinners like us are saved. It's by the faithfulness of Christ, by the works of Christ, that He saves sinners like you and me. I want to look today at Christ's faith and works. Christ's faith and works. Now, first of all, it's not our faith that saves us. Now, let me make a statement, because I know you won't object, but folks who hear this will say, "Well, Christ said to some people before, 'Thy faith saved thee.'" He did that on multiple occasions. He did. He said, "Thy faith saved thee." But they knew, and we know, that it was the object of their faith that saved them. That's why He said, "Thy faith has saved thee." Faith lays hold of Christ, rests in Christ, and Christ is the one who works the works. It's by His faithfulness. And without question now, faith is important. I'm not saying faith is not necessary. Scripture says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Faith is necessary. Absolutely necessary. But when you believe, God will make it clear to you that it's by grace, through the gift of faith, lest we boast. He did it. He gave it. Because we see here now, the children of Israel right here, they represent believers at this point. The gospel came to them back in chapter 4. Moses came and preached the gospel to them. And chapter 31 says, "And the people believed. When they heard the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that He had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads in worship." And they believed this gospel so much that they went into Pharaoh. Like God said, the elders of Israel went with Moses and Aaron into Pharaoh and said, "Let the children of Israel go." That's what God told him. He said, go tell Pharaoh this. And they did. But the only thing Pharaoh did after that was make their life bitter, more bitter, with hard bondage. He made them start making bricks without straw, made them go out and dig their, for their own, look for their own straw, and made them make the same amount of bricks. And then the taskmasters were beating them because they wasn't making enough bricks. So they were under cruel bondage. Now we saw last night the message Moses preached to them. He came declaring God's name. He came declaring Jehovah, God Almighty, El Shaddai. That name manifest in the Lord Jesus Christ, the existing one, God all sufficient to save his people. He came preaching the covenant of God. He came preaching that God saves his elect through a promise, not through our works. He chose Christ and he entrusted everything into Christ's hand, and he entered into covenant with himself. God entered covenant with God to do all the work to save his people. He entered into that covenant before the foundation of the world. And God saves us by teaching us that he has done it all, and we're saved by his covenant promise. You know, a covenant's a promise. That's God promising us that he has given us life and we shall have eternal life. He saves by promise. God, Moses preached that. Preached his name, preached his covenant, and then he preached his works. All those works that God said, he said, here's my promises. And they were all the works that Christ fulfilled. Redemption, deliverance, calling you to myself and being a God unto you. And God said, and bringing you out from under this people and making you to know I'm the Lord your God, and providing for you and preserving you and bringing you into that promised land that God promised. All this is the work God works. He promised it, and then he does it. He said through Isaiah, who is a God like unto this God that tells you from the beginning what he's going to do and then does it exactly like he said he'd do it? I used to have a man, you know, he was trying to say that you didn't have to ever hear the gospel as long as you was elect, you know. And he said, what about, you know, somebody out on a deserted island? I said, well, God said from the beginning, all through the scriptures, this is how he's going to say. And then God works everything in this world using hell-bound sinners and wickedness and everything. He works it all together to bring to pass everything he said he would do. Doesn't that declare God's sovereignty more than anything? If I told you how I'm going to do something, then did it that way, you'd say, man, that's something. That's a whole lot better than us not knowing what he's going to do and then him doing it. He told us beforehand. And then he comes and works them. He preached the works. God the Father chose his people in Christ, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He made us accepted in Christ right then. The gospel is not, will you accept Jesus? The gospel is, will God accept you? And he's accepted his people in Christ from the foundation of the world. God the Son, when he entered that covenant, became the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God never ever looked to you or me since Christ entered that covenant. He's looked to his Son. And even now, he looks to his Son. That's why he didn't destroy the world when Adam sinned in the garden. That's why he hadn't destroyed it now. He's looking to Christ, and Christ still has a people, and he's going to call them out. And God the Holy Spirit calls them out. Like we saw this morning, Christ sends the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send the Holy Spirit. And he'll quicken you. The word I speak, he'll make it life in you, put a new spirit in you, and teach you in that new spirit. This is the work of God. That's what we preach, salvation. You hear somebody preaching about the works of men, they're not preaching the work. They're not preaching the gospel. The gospel's the name, the covenant, and the works of God. But while he preached that, while Moses preached that gospel was going forward, and the children of Israel could not hear the gospel. It says because of all that cruel bondage. While the gospel was going forth, all they could think about was, where am I going to get straw to make these bricks? You know, they believed, when they heard the gospel in the beginning, they believed God. But what they thought was, is they thought God was going to deliver them immediately and take them out of that bondage immediately. And when they went in and talked to Pharaoh, and God didn't deliver them out of Pharaoh's bondage, but the bondage got worse. That's when Moses came the second time with this gospel, and they couldn't hear him. They were anguished of spirit, is to be angry and impatient. That's what it is. Instead of waiting on God to work His will, is to become angry because He hadn't worked it in your time or my time, and become impatient. That's anguish of spirit. And so they couldn't hear the gospel. They just couldn't hear it. That old man of flesh that was in them had overcome them. He'd overcome them. He'd take them into bondage. You know, when the Lord called me and quickened me and made me believe the gospel, I thought that was going to happen. I thought the Lord's going to immediately, you know, make it so I'm not going to sin like I used to sin. He's going to deliver me out of this bondage right now. And it won't. I won't be the sinner I was before. And it wasn't just a little while. I overcame with my sin. The new spirit was overcome by the old man. And I found myself right where the children of Israel were. You ever found yourself there? Not able to believe, not even knowing if you are a believer, struggling, and just overcome. What's going to happen? How are we going to get out of that? Who's going to deliver us out of that? Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Apostle Paul knew what it was about. He experienced this. Romans 7:20. He said, "Now if I do that, I would not. If I do what I don't want to do, in my new man, I do not want to do this. If I do what I would not, it's no more I that do it. It's not the new me, but sin that dwelleth in me." It's the old man. "I find them law." This is a rule right here. It's always the case that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I thought about this when I read that. When the Apostle Paul was being used of God to write the Scriptures, wouldn't you consider that to be doing good? Being used of God to write the inspired Word of God, when he was doing that good work, evil was present with him. Sin was present with him. Paul couldn't look to the fact that he wrote the Holy Scriptures and take any confidence in it for salvation. Not at all. Because sin was mixed with that. Watch this. He says, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." That's that spirit we looked at this morning. That's that new man. He says, "But I see another law in my members," in that old sinful man, "warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me," the new me, "into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Anybody here been to jail? When you go to jail and they shut the door, you ain't getting out of there. You're captive. You ain't getting out unless somebody unlocks it and lets you out. And somebody else got to do that. You ain't getting out of there. That's what happens when we come into this captivity of our old man. He's brought us into captivity. You ain't getting out of there. "Well, how am I going to get out then?" Verse 24. "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's who's going to deliver me. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what we see here in our text. We're not saved by our faithfulness. We're saved by Christ who quickeneth us. And that's ongoing. I ended the message this morning saying, it's not just He quickens us in the first hour. He quickens us continually. Our outward man perishes and the inward man is renewed day by day. Remember Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ and now I live. But it's not me that lives. I don't give myself this life, and I don't keep this life sustained. The life I now live, the only way I live and do anything that's remotely honorable to God is Christ living in me. Who is Christ? He's Spirit. He's the life. He's the truth. He's righteousness. He's holiness. He's everything we need. And when Christ is in you, you have everything you need. And that's the only way we know it. We know He is the life. He's the sustainer of it. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength." Christ said, "My strength is made perfect." You're made to see clearly my strength through your weakness. Through your weakness. Why did I tell you that God left Israel there and didn't deliver them immediately out of that bondage? He left them there to teach them not to trust themselves, but to only trust the Lord. Why did He leave me and you in this body of death? Why did He leave us in this Egypt? To teach us the same thing. Not ever to look to yourself, to look only to Him. Man, I've been accused lately of, you know, when I'm telling you about the new spirit, and men have said, "Well, you're teaching sinners to look within." No, I'm not. In fact, the only time you'll look without is when He's done this work within. Until then, you'll be put confidence in something that you did. That's the only time we look out is when He's done this work within us. And we don't trust ourselves. The second thing we see here in our text is not only is it not our faith that saves us, it's not our works that save us. And again, let me be clear. I understand that Scripture says faith without works is dead. Wherever God's given faith, He's gonna create some good works. You know why? Because Ephesians 2 says those works were ordained before by God that we shall walk in them. That means from the foundation of the world, God ordained the good works His people are going to walk in. And He's going to work in them both to will and do of His pleasure so that they do every work He ordained for them to do. And it begins with faith, repentance, perseverance, and anything, loving your brethren, believing Christ, everything. That's what He ordained before, and He works that in His people. So you and I don't have to worry if you're going to miss out on doing a good work for the Lord. If He ordained it, you're going to do it. I trust you. Trust me. He's going to bring you to it and make you do it. So I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying works are not important. They are, and they will be. They will be in God's people. Here's what I'm saying. Moses, this most eminent of God's saints, God did not change. God said there in verse 11, "Go in and speak unto Pharaoh." God don't change. He's immutable. But Moses changed, didn't he? Whenever the children of Israel didn't hearken to His word, Moses said, "Behold, the children of Israel hadn't hearkened unto my word. How's Pharaoh going to hearken to me? I'm a man of unclean lips." You know where he's at? You know where Moses is at when he said that? He's right back where he was in the beginning. When Christ appeared to him in the burning bush, remember Moses' objection? "I can't go speak to Pharaoh. I got a speech impediment. I'm a stammering lips. I can't talk to him." He's right back there now. Right back there now. God's true preacher finds out real quick that he's altogether powerless to make himself believe, much less make anybody else believe. That's what God's going to teach his preacher, for he uses his preacher. You can't make yourself believe, much less anybody else believe. Moses hadn't delivered anybody yet, because Moses got to be taught this himself. You can't make these people believe. Although I'm telling you to go deliver them, you're not the one delivering them, Moses. I am, God said. And he taught Moses that. He taught him that. Now, how often is this not our case too, brethren? A little rejection. A little rejection in the work God's put in your hand to do, and we turn from it as though, you know, and think, "Well, you know, this is not God's will." I'm going to tell you something that will help you. Don't ever judge God's what God's doing. Do not judge it by providence. Don't do it. Don't look at stuff around you. Remember, Elimelech did that. He looked at the famine there in Israel, and he said, well, look down there. Look down at Moab. It's plenty down there. It must be God's will for me to move down there. And he did. And God killed him and his sons and brought his elect wife back to Israel. Don't judge what God's doing by providence. But that's what we do. We look at things going on around us and we say, well, it must not be God's will. Was it, if Moses looked here, that's what he was doing. He was looking at the children of Israel. They didn't hear. Pharaoh didn't hear the first time. He's looking at what God worked providentially. And he's looking at it and he's saying, well, God's not in this. How am I going to, why go speak? God's not in this. But God's telling him, yes, I am in this. I'm the one that made him not listen to you. To bring you where you are right now, teach you, I'm the one doing this work. That's what we have to be taught, isn't it? We're saved by his faith and we're saved by his works. Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Anything covers it all, don't it? I can't think anything is coming of me or from me. I can't think that. And you can't either. Where's our sufficiency then? He said, our sufficiency is God. Not God gives us sufficiency, although he does. Our sufficiency is God. That's right. So here's the third thing. We're saved by Christ's faithfulness and Christ's works. We're saved by Christ's faithfulness and Christ's works. First of all, Christ shows us his faithfulness. Now this is going to equate to the children of Israel. They couldn't hearken. They couldn't believe the gospel. They fell into unbelief, unfaithfulness. So then first thing he does is he's going to show his faithfulness. He's going to show his faithfulness. And in verse 14, Exodus 6:14. Well, first of all, in verse 12 and 13, he told him to go on. Verse 13, he told him to go to Israel, to go to Pharaoh, and to go to the children of Israel and preach the gospel. He gave them the same charge. And then he did this. He gave a list of names. He's teaching something here. Watch this now. He said concerning the children of Israel that he was going to deliver out of Egypt. He said, these be the heads of their fathers' houses. Now he's just listing the heads here. The heads are the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and they're the 12 heads of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel named after them. And he's talking about them now. But look what he said. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. And then he lists a bunch of names there that are all the sons of Reuben that live in Israel right now that he's going to deliver. Remember he said, I've made my covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I've remembered my covenant. I'm going to deliver these children out of Egypt. Teaching us a spiritual lesson. He remembers his everlasting covenant. He's going to deliver his people. And he said right here, Reuben, he's got some sons right here in Egypt. I'm bringing them out. Bringing them out. Then he said this, and the sons of Simeon. And then he lists Simeon's children, his sons. And he said, I promise I'm about to deliver them out. They're there in Israel, in Egypt. I'm about to deliver them out. Then he says this in verse 16. And these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations. He lists all the names of those sons, including Moses and Aaron. They both the sons of Levi. Though our faith is mixed with unbelief, and though we often fall into unbelief so badly that we don't even have faith to believe God. We can't even hearken to the gospel of God. God knows who his people are because he wrote our names in the Lamb's book of life before the world began. He knows exactly who he shall deliver. And get this now, Christ, since he entered that covenant, like I said, he does not look to us. He's looking to Christ. God has, Christ has satisfied divine justice. He has declared God just and the justifier. And for that reason, justice demands he calls out his people and lose not one of them. Because the law would be diminished if he did that. And he will not. He came to declare God's righteousness, to declare to us that God does right. And he's going to make certain the world knows God does right. Everybody God purposed from eternity to save, he saved them. Everyone of them. And he knows who they are. But I want you to notice this too. Why did he only list the first three sons of Jacob? Jacob had more sons than that. There were 12 sons, but he didn't list but three sons. Why? Those three boys that he listed, do you remember whenever Jacob came, Israel came, and he was dying, and he blessed his sons before he died? When he blessed those boys before he died, those first three boys, he told those first three boys, "You're unfaithful. And your works are sinful. And you're cursed." That's what he told them. You're cursed. And nevertheless, he's telling us right here, in spite of that, and now we see their children here. Their children, those three boys, were the ones sitting there saying, "We can't listen to God. We don't believe God. Don't preach the gospel to us. We don't believe him." They were unfaithful too, and their works were sinful too. And yet God's saying, "I remember my covenant, and I'm going to deliver them out." What's that teaching us? That's teaching you and me that our works and our unfaithfulness, no matter how sinful, how unbelieving, no matter how we turn from God, it does not in any way change God's grace. God chose his people by grace. That means he didn't look at you and me and see anything good in us or anything evil in us. He didn't base it on anything in us. And so nothing in us is going to change that grace. He entered into an everlasting covenant, so he will remember his covenant. That's what he told Moses. Remember last night? "I'll remember my covenant." That's why I'm bringing them out. And that's why he listed only the first three names of those boys, brethren. Those three boys were the most sinful and the most unbelieving of all of them. Remember what he said to Reuben? Reuben's sitting there thinking, "Daddy's fixing to bless me and give me a big old inheritance." He said, "Reuben, my firstborn, my strength, my glory. Boy, you're unstable as water." That's what he told him. "You're unstable as water." And he told Simeon and Levi, "I told you not to do it, but you went up there to those fellows that raped your sister. And you tricked them and you killed them. And I told you not to do it because it'd bring reproach on my name. And you did it anyway. And for that, God's cursed you." And yet, God still took the tribe of Levi and made them priests unto God. See grace in that? Here we are. You know what we are? You know what every child of God is? We all are the chief of sinners. Every one of us. And yet, even though we're the chief of sinners, God's the chief of grace and the chief of salvation. And our sin don't change that. And he's going to save his people. He's going to save his people. That's what we learned there. See, it's by God's faithfulness. Listen to this. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. I love your pastor dearly. I love him dearly. He's been a big help to me, big encouragement to me, especially the past 10 years. He may not know you, and he may not know the Lord, but the Lord knows him. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And that's what matters. That's what matters. He listed some men's names right there when he's talking to Timothy. And he said, these men have erred from the faith and they're leading people away from the faith. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He's saying nobody's going to be able to lead away His people. God's not going to allow it. And then He said, let them that are His, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And you know what? That's how they're not going to be led astray. Because Christ is going to speak that word in their heart. Just like we saw this morning. He's going to tell them, depart from iniquity. And they're going to turn from it. If you're a believer, I guarantee you this. You cannot sin against God and it not break your heart. I'm not talking about why you do it. You can be overcome with sin and do it. But then afterward, he's going to make you come to yourself and it's going to break your heart. If you're His. And He's going to tell you turn from it. And you're going to turn from it. For a little while anyway. I guarantee it. Because you don't want to disgrace His name. He said, let him that names the name of God. His name's on you. And you know. Man, I used to get in trouble. I had a good daddy. My daddy worked he worked hard. 7 days a week. Cutting meat for a grocery store. And worked hard. Cold. One time he came home and had dropped some boxes on his foot and broke every toe on his foot. It worked hard. And the thing that hurt me more than anything when I'd do something and get in trouble, and I did that pretty often, but the thing that hurt me was it dishonored my daddy. And that's the thing that hurts God's people. It dishonors our Heavenly Father. And if that's not motive enough, something wrong. Because that's the motive. That's the love that you're constrained by. Right there. And then look here now. So we see now that He's going to save us by His faithfulness. You remember He said when any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sin. He's the mercy for our sins. Christ is. That's why God will forgive you. Keep you. He's faithful. Now secondly, He's going to use Moses now, and He's going to show us that we're not saved by our works. Watch this. Now, He's talking about a preacher here. He was talking about a preacher. And this is true for the preacher. But you and I, we all saved the same way. And there's nobody, a preacher's not above you, and you're not above a preacher. We're all worms is what we are, saved by grace. And you all are witnesses. If you're born of God, you're a witness of Christ, just like the preacher's a witness of Christ. So this applies to all of us. But we're not going to be saved by those works. You know, religion, that's their whole thing is talking about witnessing and how they witness and what they do and all this. And all their praying and all the things they do. Do you know, you realize that's what Christ said, don't do before men? Christ said, do not let men see your prayer or your almsgiving or any of your work. Don't do it before men to be seen of men. And you go on the websites of religion and you know what you're going to see advertised? What all we're doing. Why? Why did Christ say don't do that? So that men won't be attracted to come and hear what you're preaching because of what you're doing. You want them to come because of what Christ is doing. That's why. So we're not going to be saved by our works. Watch this now. We see Moses. He's in total unbelief too. He's turned from his work that God put in his hand to go preach. How's he going to be made to do it? Watch this. Verse 28. It says, it came to pass on that same day when the Lord spake to Moses in the land of Egypt. Verse 29. That the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I'm the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I'm of uncircumcised lip. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? He's saying that same day on that same occasion. He said, not only did he give that list of names, he said he also did this. He did this right here, verse 1, chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. He said unto Aaron. He said, I'm going to command you what to speak, and you're going to speak it unto Aaron, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. He's giving us a picture here. How are we going to be strengthened? Christ came to Moses. Moses couldn't go to him. Moses was in unbelief. He turned from his work. Christ came to him. That's Christ's work. He came to Moses and he spoke to Moses and he said, Moses, I have made you my ambassador to Pharaoh. That's what he meant by I've made you a god. When you read the scripture, it talks about being made a god. That's the name used for civil magistrates and people in power and authority. He said, I've given you authority from me to go preach to Pharaoh. And what he's saying to Moses is, Moses, Pharaoh shall hear you, and you shall not fail, because I'm the authority that's doing this work. That's what he's telling him. Now, do you think that would put a little tiptoe in Moses' step? I reckon it would. And that's the thing that'll encourage you and strengthen you is when Christ comes and shows you, this work's not being done by you. I'm the power and the authority doing this work. I'm sending you under my power and under my authority. Well, so you get the message now. He's given you the message. He's told you what you're going to preach. He's made you to come to that place, Paul said, where he said, I'll most gladly therefore, since I see that his strength is made to be seen in my weakness, most gladly therefore now, I'm not going to complain about my infirmities anymore. I'm not going to complain about my sin anymore. I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Because I want the power of Christ resting on me. I want the power of Christ resting on me. So now he's brought Moses to that place and given him the message. Now what's going to happen? He's got to go preach it now. How's it going to be made effectual? Moses still don't have power to make it effectual. Let me tell you what's happened week after week after week since the Lord used me to preach. On Sunday evening, you get a little bit of... We don't have Sunday night services. So at Sunday evening, I get a little bit of relaxation. The pressure's off for just a little while. But by Monday morning, I'm usually right back in unbelief and, you know, how am I going to get a message? Where am I going to get a message? What's going to happen? And the Lord gives the message. And then when he gives the message and you get ready to go preach the message Thursday night, you know what you do? You start praying to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this message. Now, Lord, will you take these words and bless these words to the hearts of your people? Make it effectual in your people. Meet with us now and make this word real and make it effectual. Make us hear it. Make us bow to you. Will you do that, Lord? See, you take the word he's given you and you give it right back to him and ask him to do with it what he will. And then after Thursday night, go right back to doing the same thing again. Next week, do the same thing again. And it's just over and over and over, asking the Lord constantly, because you can't do it. And when you get to feel like you can do it, he puts you right there where he put Moses to show you, no, you can't do it. And he gets you right back on your face again, praying, Lord, will you give me the message? And then praying, Lord, here's the word you gave me. Now, will you bless them? You see, that's what he told Moses. He said, Moses, I'm going to give you the words. And then look, he said, verse 2, and thou shalt speak all that I've commanded you to preach unto Aaron. And Aaron, thy elder brother, shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. He said, Aaron will be a prophet unto you. You know who Aaron pictures? Aaron pictures Christ. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. He's the elder brother, and he's the prophet, and he gives the word. If he's going to use you to speak to somebody, like I said, you don't have to worry if he's going to do that, and you're going to bear witness to somebody. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give you the word to speak. You know what you're going to do? You can give the word right back to him. And you're going to say, Lord, will you bless it? Will you speak it? Will you make it effectual? And that's what his preacher's going to do. We're witnesses of him. That's what we're going to do. That's what he's picturing there. I'm giving you the word, and you give it to your elder brother, the prophet, and he's going to speak it. That's a picture of giving it to Christ, so he'll speak it. So he's showing there, brethren, that it's not by our faith. It's by his faithfulness. He saves us even when we don't believe, and it's not by our works. He comes and strengthens us and sends us forth, and he works in his people what he's pleased to do, making it effectual. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that it's not up to us? The thing that made us so mad when we was lost is the thing that makes us so glad now, isn't it? Because it's not in our hands. Robert Hawker, I read what he wrote on that verse. He said, you cannot trust yourself too little, and you cannot trust God too much. That's the message. Amen.
Thank you.